The God accepted putratvam sonhood. Pratita being prayed for. Sura by the demigods. Rama, Lord Ramachandra. Lakshman, Lord Lakshman. Bharat, Lord Bharat. Shatrughna, the Lord Shatrughna. Iti, thus. Samgyaya, by different names. Translation, being prayed for by the demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth Himself, directly appeared with an expansion and expansions of the expansion. Their holy names were Rama, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna. These celebrated incarnations thus appeared in the four forms as the sons of Maharaj Dattarath. Purport. Lord Ramachandra and his brothers Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna are all Vishnu Tattva, not Jiva Tattva. The Supreme Personality of God and expands into many, many forms. Advaita, Chuta, Manari, Anantarupam. Although they are one and the same, Vishnu Tattva has many forms and incarnations. As confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, Ramani Morteshu Kala Kaladiyavaina Tishtad. The Lord is situated in many forms, such as Rama, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna, and these forms may exist in any part of His creation. All these forms exist permanently, eternally, as individual personalities of Godhead, and they resemble many candles, all equally powerful. Lord Ramachandra, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna, who being Vishnu Tattva, are all equally powerful, became the sons of Maharaj Dattarath in response to prayers by the demigods. Om Agyana Tibhutasya Jyotana Sakaya Chakshu Nidhatasya Tasmai Shri Bari Namaha. So Krishna explains in the chapter in Bhagavad Gita, Transcendental Knowledge, that Ajopi Sanavyayatma Bhutanam Shwarupi San Prakritim Samadhistaya Sambhavani Yatmavaya, that he's unborn, but he comes in his transcendental body, and he's the Lord of all the living entities. And he comes here millennium, every millennium. So, if we accept the parampara, it becomes a very easy thing that Krishna comes and he has that, this is what Krishna looks like. We know his name, his address, his telephone number. Prabhupada says everything is there. So he comes, Gidai Dama Shagreva Bhati Bharata Jutta Rama Dama Shatanatmanam Shijami Hum. Whatever there's religious principles lacking and a predominant rise of new religion, then he comes himself. So Prabhupada explains that he doesn't, next verse is he kills the demons and he protects the devotees. So to kill the demons, this is not very difficult. We discussed this before, that every year 100 million people are dying, so everyone's dying. So if Krishna wants, he can destroy this whole planet in a moment. It's not a problem. But he mostly comes to give pleasure to his devotees. Plus, for future generations of devotees, he's there, so we have something to think about. The mind is thinking all the time, so we have to have something positive to think about. Otherwise, we're going to, the whole material world is like unlimited millions and trillions of thoughts. The mind can think about unlimited amounts of things. It's such a wonderful tool, the mind, if it's utilized in Krishna's service. But of course, if it's utilized in the service of the illusory energy, there is untold numbers of illusory things. So similarly, Krishna arranges that there's unlimited amounts of transcendental things we can think about. So this is the whole process of Krishna consciousness, is to control the mind. So Krishna comes in these different expansions, these wonderful pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, the wonderful pastimes of Lord Krishna. So it gives us something to meditate on, to pass our days while we're rectifying ourselves. Every living entity is an eternal servant of Krishna. Chaitanya Radasa Buddhi, Chaitanya Radasa Chaitanya Radasa Buddhi, Tandra Dasa Rodasa. I am a servant of Lord Chaitanya, a servant of Lord Chaitanya. I am a servant of Lord Chaitanya and a servant of his servants. So this is everyone's eternal position. But somehow or other, we don't, somehow or other, Prabhupada always says that, he never specifically tells us, somehow or other we come to this material world. Obviously we want to enjoy like Krishna. We can see when we study Lord Krishna's pastimes, the honest person will deduce, yes, I want it to be Krishna. I want it to, but it's so ludicrous for the tiny jiva to want to be Krishna. He's not qualified. He's not qualified at all. Barely, Krishna had 16,108 wives in Dwarka. He can barely maintain one. But arrangements can be made, just like sometimes the bugs get in the rice. So you see there's actually millions of them. So it's a whole dynasty. So it's almost like that. You have 16,108 bug wives, and you have 10 bug children from each one, and then they have 10. So there's like millions, but you're living inside a bag of rice. Sometimes we get donations like that. They say, oh, I have a nice donation for you from the store. Come and pick up. And they're all bugs. Bugs in their eyes. Funny. We had, that was a nice donation he gave. Funny. There's a lot of bugs. Maybe I shouldn't be saying this, because why did I get donations? The U.S. government may close down shipping from India. We're probably going to contaminate all the grains in the United States of America from stuff like that. No, I was just joking. That's not really what happened. So Krishna gives us so many pastimes we can remember. Just like every year it's such, you know, Kartik comes around and you're thinking, boy, Krishna's mercy, I'm here another year for Kartik. So it's so nice we can meditate on Krishna's pastimes. And it's so transcendental. We don't notice how much nicer this is in material life, because now we're a little bit, you know, we've gotten a lot of mercy, so we avoid material existence. Actually, material existence is so terrible. From the highest planet down to the lowest, all the places of misery. Up, down, it doesn't really matter. They're all places of misery. And then, we want to be Krishna. So we have to present this false veneer that we're all powerful, all famous. We have to endeavor so much to present some false fame, adoration, profit. We've discussed before how Raghunath Das Goswami explains that this desire, it's like having a desire for some low-class dog-eating woman. And then we were just reading in Bhakti Siddhanta's biography. I was wondering whether I should say this or not, but I was thinking, but somehow or other, I guess I should. So Bhakti Siddhanta is explaining that this fame and prestige, it's pig stool. So pig stool. And then he's also in another place the value of this material sense enjoyment, it's very valuable material sense enjoyment, as valuable as donkey urine. Warm, actually, warm donkey urine. So these gross materialists, he's thinking he's all that, you know, he's thinking, but, you know, he's coming to the restaurant with some low-class prostitute, and he's ordering a plate of pig stool, and he's washing it down with warm donkey urine. So this is his exalted position in the material world. And this is the actual position. This is not something we're making up. This is the actual position of the living entity. Plus he's thinking, oh, I'm such a rich man. Like we talked about the frog, he got a little rupee coin. So, but that's the same position as these big, big, how rich is he? All the gold on the earth planet can be put into two Olympic-sized swimming pools. Now, Mount Samaru, it's just this giant mountain of gold, millions and trillions of pounds. I mean, the Christians have some joke about the guy wants to go to heaven with all his gold, so he goes to heaven with all his gold, and they say, why'd you bring it here? We paved the road with that. There's no point of bringing gold to heaven. We paved the road with that. But everyone's pretty attached to this name and fame and profit adoration distinction. But it's doesn't belong to us anyway. It's just like this pastime of Lord Ramachandra. We'll understand later on that Sita isn't actually taken. It's a Maya Sita. Someone like Ravana cannot touch Sita. One Brahmin from South India who's crying so much because he was always thinking, oh, my Sita, she was touched by Ravana. So later on, Lord Chaitanya brought back a scripture for him from one of the temples, and he showed him here, she was never touched by Ravana. It was a false Sita. So the Brahmin became very happy. He was very happy after that. He was so unhappy that he couldn't even get it together to make Lord Chaitanya any prashado when Lord Chaitanya came. So all this opulence, it all belongs to Krishna. And what we have is opulence is insignificant anyway, but we get proud, that half rupee coin that the frog got, he was thinking, I'm a big frog. So to say, whatever opulence, even if you take the richest man, it is insignificant. It is completely insignificant. Plus, it doesn't belong to him. He is just a thief. One man one time came to Prabhupada. He had a big, Prabhupada is so transcendental. He had a big factory, but he's very famous. I think he became one of Prabhupada's staunch followers. But anyway, he was talking about his, Prabhupada was talking how you have these factories, whatever money you get, it belongs to Krishna. So you're just stealing it. So the man said, oh, I only take a little of the profit. The Prabhupada said, oh, so you are only a little thief? So the man was, he became very, very favorable. Because the point is, people want to hear the absolute truth. You have to just deliver it very palatably, very nicely. But people want to hear it. There's suffering in this world. It's not that they don't want to hear this. Everyone wants to hear the absolute truth. There's no happiness in the material world. Sometimes you go looking for it. You know, sometimes our children, we tell them there's no happiness, but sometimes they don't believe. But then after a while, they're looking for it. You were right, Dad. There ain't any happiness here, It's just, you're hoping against hope. But we should hope against hope that we can connect with Krishna. That's real asabandhu, not I'm hoping against hope that I'm going to become happy in the material world. That hope will never be fulfilled. You will never become happy here. It doesn't matter what you do, what you try to do, who you know. There's no way that you will ever become satisfied in the material world. The only satisfaction is to absorb oneself in Krishna consciousness. And then, if one does that, you'll become peaceful. And if one becomes peaceful, Bhagavad Gita explains the super soul is already reached. So the super soul is always there, but we don't forget about Krishna sometimes. But in his incarnation as a super soul, he's sitting beside us. He's always there. He's just watching us. And because he's not affected, I was just reading, because he's not affected by the time factor, he's able to observe all the movements of our mind eternally. It's not a problem. It's not hard for him. Like sometimes you think, boy, Krishna made this arrangement. I hadn't went there and this and that. For us, it would be very hard to make an arrangement. You have to have 10 people and they all have a certain different karma and they have to interact in a certain way. How am I going to make this arrangement? But for Krishna, it's no problem. He makes the arrangement in a moment. It's not difficult for him. Krishna can make all the arrangements. He can have someone meet the devotees and he can have someone else meet some demon. It's depending on your attachment. So after he finishes these four shlokas about how he comes and from one who knows the janma karma tamedhiv yam, for one who knows how he comes, that you can go back to Godhead in this lifetime. Right after that, it's interesting. He gives the next shloka is that being freed from attachment, fear and anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many, many persons have become purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all obtain transcendental love for me. So that's the next verse after those four. And then the one right after that, he says, Ye yatam umpapanyate. As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. All men follow my path in all respects. So everyone's actually following Krishna's path. There's no question. But the real path is what the acharyas are giving us, this Shuddha Bhakti, unalloyed pure love of God. And everything else, like if you read Bhaktisiddhanta's biography, you'll see that there's 160 pages on the Apasampradayas, the different Apasampradayas. They list them as 13, sometimes more. But you see, what is this? This Apasampradaya, different bogus groups, you know? And it's, you know, that we're in India 500 years ago, and, you know, what is this? Why am I studying all this? But the thing is, these Apasampradayas exist eternally. Then what happens when you don't have pure bhakti? So you'll read these Apasampradayas that existed in India, and you'll see, well, isn't this existing in America, too, in the Christian religion? Isn't this how some of the other religions are? And it is, because the consciousness that develops when one is not purely serving Krishna develops in these different ways outside the sampradaya, Apasampradaya. Some of them become the joyous, like the owl. Baal. They're like the hippies. Prabhupada said they're like the hippies. They just enjoy. It's not like they don't get together and form some philosophy, but they all somehow or other figure out that the purpose of life is to just enjoy your senses as much as possible. And they act like, you know, they dress like crazy guys, they have long hair. This is exactly the group in India, but somehow or other, without preaching it directly, that's formed in America. So all these different bogus sampradayas will gradually form. And then a real sampradaya, you just do what the previous spiritual master wanted you to do. But the bogus stuff, you start thinking, oh, I can give you more than this previous spiritual master. This is all completely bogus. It's like they came to Lord Chaitanya, oh, I have a better version of Bhagavatam, better commentary than Sridhar Swami. Oh, you're useless. You become useless. So that's the thing. You think, oh, yes. Ativas. I am too great. Lord, he even came to Lord Chaitanya, I have a really good, you know. He said, oh, you are too great. You are too great. Ativas. So puffed up. You would think you do it. You think you can do more than the previous acharya. And they want you to do more, but you have to do it in the line. You cannot think that I am, first of all, we're all operating on the mercy of our spiritual master, you know, basically, if, you know, we can just do a little. But even if you're a great personality, like Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, they were just following the parampara coming down. Even if you become greater than Lord Brahma, Krishna is the original spiritual master. Oh, so now you've better than Krishna? Oh, again become a mouse. You all know that mouse story, right? As soon as you think you know, then again become a mouse. By the mercy of the guru, you're getting so much, you know, he's saving you from so many calamities. He's making the mouse into a cat, so now the cat can't bother him no more. But then the dog comes, so the dog can't. So he makes him into a dog. He says, "What's the problem? You got another?" Yeah. Now the problem is the dog. Oh, okay. Let me become a dog. And then the tiger's after the dog, so he has another problem. So he runs to the guru. He said, "Okay, become a tiger." So then his tiger's sitting there, and he starts looking at his guru, and he starts licking his lips, smacking his lips. So he said, "Oh, you're gonna eat me?" And the tiger goes, "Yes." Then become a mouse again. So one should never think that he knows more than the previous acharyas. I mean, our business is to remain humble. Somehow or other, it's so hard because this is the nature of the material world to be puffed up. I am the king of the dynasty of bugs. Our mantra is supposed to secret. Prabhupada said, "This is the secret." He said, "Oh, you know the secret?" And Prabhupada said, "Yes, and you know it too." Chidadapi Sidichena Tarorapi Sishula Amarina Maradeda Kitaniasidahari. One can chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the star of the street, more taller than the tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name constantly. So the idea is to chant constantly, stay in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is always our, every day we have that chant. Krishna's there. We can always surrender. What were we saying at the last class? I didn't do so good today, but maybe tomorrow I'll surrender. So we have to think like that. And not that we want to cheat. We don't want to cheat. But we're so addicted to this material sense gratification since time immemorial. Sometimes people go, "Oh, well, it's a nice idea to try. We should try to come to the proper standard." But you have to understand, it is so exalted. Only an Uttama Adhikari doesn't have the tendency to criticize others. Even when you're forced, really, to be a little critical, even the Madhyam, even when the Uttama Adhikari comes down to the level of Madhyam, you're forced to analyze, you know. It describes in the Shastras that if someone's not very serious about Krishna consciousness, in other words, if he's in one of these apasampradayas, so you pay obeisances, but from 100 bolates. The bolate is pretty, about a football field. How do you ball? And then, you know what? What can be done? This is life in the material world. One has to be careful. We don't want to get contaminated. We're trying to go back home, back to God, and we're not trying to, you know, back to dog head. We want to go back to God head. It's easy to become a dog. We see there's lots of dogs, there's lots of bugs, there's lots of living entities, there's lots of other living entities besides human beings that are Hare Krishna devotees. So one has to become very careful. And because we're born in Kali Yuga, in these Western world, we have these bodies. These bodies, yantra rudani maya, these bodies, if we're not engaged in devotional service, these bodies have been given to us to facilitate so many sinful desires. So we have to be very careful, because if we're not absorbing in Krishna consciousness, we'll be attracted to wherever we... Like there's that joke that if you want to find a devotee after he leaves the Hare Krishna movement, just find out where he was before he joined the Hare Krishna movement, because he'll go back into that same mentality. We're not really changing our body. We're changing the mentality. So the body has those tendencies, and if we leave the consciousness of Krishna, we'll go back to whatever we were doing before we were Hare Krishna devotees. That's a fact. I think. No, that's a fact. It was said by one of the sannyasi devotees, made that same point one time. You go back to the same thing. I mean, you may make a vegetarian pizza at the Super Bowl game, but you'll still be at the Super Bowl game with a pizza. That's just the way it works, you know. Although, like the sannyasi was saying, they visited us earlier. No, I don't want to criticize it. Don't take offense. But I'm just saying. Okay, that's enough. Is there any comments or questions or realizations? Yes, Prabhu.
I accept, but you kind of wonder, you know, like say someone engages in this process of Krishna consciousness for 5, 10, 20, 30 years, and then, as you say, they stop formally practicing and they wind up exactly where they were 30 years before. Wouldn't someone have made some progress where they would perhaps, you know, have a more elevated lifestyle?
But they have that body. So one personality said one time that we'll know who the real devotees are after 20 years. But just recently he said 30 years. But now we can say 40 years. 40 years was the beginning. 44 years, actually. Some of the original devotees joined 44 years ago. So, is that correct? Yeah. This is the 34th anniversary of the disappearance of Srila Prabhupada on the, I think it's the 9th, the Tuesday. And it's 3 days after Govardhan Puja. Prabhupada wanted to go on Govardhan Parikrama 3 days before he left his body. And then the devotee somehow or other talked about him, but then he was ready to go. So you can see how the pure devotee is always. And Srila Prabhupada said that. I am always praying. I'm always praying that I don't fall into Maya. And then some devotee once told Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, I fell into Maya. Prabhupada said, you didn't fall into Maya. You're always in Maya. Sometimes you fall into Krishna. So Maya, that's another thing Prabhupada said. It's false. Ramanya knows all of them, but I'll just mention the one. One is that we're not Western devotees aren't very much afraid of Maya. Not afraid of Maya. Maya's like a rubber band, though. You know, you see, oh, just a little. But you take that rubber band, all of a sudden it stretches all the way out. It's like someone gave the example one time, and it's like a salesman, you know. He knocks on the door, and if you open the door enough, he puts his foot in the door, so you can't really close it on him. So if you open the door a little bit for Maya, she puts her foot in, and then it's hard to get her out. She always had her foot in. You know, sometimes it's hard to get out. Sometimes it might take 10, 20 years to get out of some Maya that you made a mistake with, like that. So yeah, you would think we'd change, but our bodies didn't change. You see, the bodies are connected by certain modes, you know. That's why it's embarrassing, because, yeah, our minds, our subtle bodies have changed a little bit. See, our subtle bodies have changed a little bit. So it's more embarrassing if you fall down. For the kami, it's not embarrassing at all. They always fell down, you know. You think they're embarrassed when they're at the football game and they're all drunk? We were coming back, and everyone was drunk. And these guys came up, and Pushkar was walking. They said, what are you doing? What are you doing at the football game? You're Hare Krishna. And they said, yeah, we're at the football game, and we're not even drunk. They said, that's right, you're not even drunk. You know, they started laughing, and Pushkar, you know, he's pretty. Yeah, he said, what's the use of you guys if you're not even drunk here at the football game? They can't imagine that there's anything else. But I mean, you take the football game, it's perfect. There's 100,000 people there. I mean, perfect in a buyer sense. There's 100,000 people there, right? They're all intoxicated. They all have their girlfriends, whatever. You know, the cheerleaders are jumping around from Vedic standpoint, butt naked, more or less. Is that legal to say? Anyway, from the Vedic standpoint, they're naked. and intoxication. Everyone's eating some bratwurst or some sort of nasty, you know, type of meat combination. And then they all got to bet on the game. So there's illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling. And of course, they're at a sporting event, which Prabhupada, his first thing that he put on the bulletin board, he said, no meat eating, gambling, illicit sex, intoxication, or frivolous sports. Are there any other comments or questions? All right, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.